The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. Hey guys, what's up? This is Pastor John, and apparently last week I missed that pause, so there you go. I'm so glad to see you, even though I can't see you, so I guess I'm imagining you in my mind, which means the Rona's starting to get to me because I'm starting to imagine things. But I can imagine you here in the sanctuary where I am at Soma Central. I almost said Rona. Soma Central. And I'm so glad you're here. If you do not know who I am, my name is Pastor John. I'm the pastor of Soma Community Church here in Jefferson City. And I am so glad to see you here this morning. I hope that you are blessed by what we have to talk about as we dig back into God's scripture. Now, listen, I do want to give a warning up front. We have been in a series. We started a series last week called Freedom. Matter of fact, I remind you of Braveheart. Remember, he said, Freedom! No, you're not going to join me? That's fine. I'll do it by myself. But yeah, freedom. So he yelled freedom and all that good stuff. And we talked about different things of freedom. And this week is going to be PG. Maybe PG-13, but at least PG. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you just, I'm going to do like 5 seconds. You know what the words to say. Give you the look to your kids. Maybe you're ushering them out right now. But I want you to go ahead and give the little ones the opportunity to step out of the room. Now, here's why. Two reasons. One, we're going to talk about some stuff today. I don't want to mention the word yet. We're going to get into it in just a second. But if you got middle schoolers, high schoolers, or adults, y'all need to stay in the room and hear this whole thing. The second part of it is this. For the Soma kids, elementary school kids, we actually have our Soma kids curriculum that'll be published at 11 a.m. As soon as we're done with this, go over to our YouTube channel, which you can find the link right below me or over in the chat, and we will have curriculum for them. We want them to join in. Our Soma kids lead has put something together, and we want you to do that. Matter of fact, while you're over there, I'm going to ask you to like and subscribe our channel. Do that on Facebook and on YouTube, just so you can be involved in what we're doing as we put up content for you. We try to connect you into what God's doing. It's been absolutely amazing. So here's what I'm going to do. I think you've had plenty of time to get your kids out of the room if you want to as we get into this. But this week we're going to talk about finding freedom from lust. Finding freedom from lust. And listen, some of y'all are like, man, Pastor John, I just invited my friend to our church for the first time. They finally clicked on. Well, welcome. But here's the thing. There are lots of other places that you can go to hear fluff. Lots of places you can go that'll tell you whatever you want to hear, but very few places that are going to talk about the real issues. And this kind of got together for me when I was reading through. I read all kinds of newspapers and online, and I listen to different podcasts and different things. And, you know, if you listen to my radio, I listen to Reuters News, NPR, and Fox News. So I try to get it from all points of view. It kind of makes it fun, really, when I'm listening to everything. One thing I heard a couple days ago that blew me away, a couple weeks ago actually, was that the usage of pornography in the United States has gone up by 18%. 18% since the stay-at-home orders happened here in the United States. It's a problem. Matter of fact, if you don't know how big the problem is, it's this. Let me give you some stats for you. Over 10,000 porn movies are released per year. Over 300 million are sold annually. In fact, there are more porn outlets than there are McDonald's in the United States of America. The porn industry has an annual revenue of more than the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball combined. And if you're married, 55% of the married men and 25% of the married women and growing say they've watched porn in the last month. This is an issue. And one thing that I've learned from my counseling experience as a pastor and talking to people is that this is a huge problem. Matter of fact, if you haven't, then statistics say that you probably will view it in the next week or so. It's a problem. And so I want to give you a soul tattoo. I want to pray with you, and I want to get into God's word and see what he has to say about when it comes to lust in our lives, okay? But the soul tattoo is this. It's below us. I want you to read it with me, but I want to read it out loud. It's this. Lust grips you in a way that the spirit is dulled. Lust grips you in a way that the spirit is dulled. Why don't you pray with me? Father God, I thank you so much for the reality that you are God and that you are good and that you are here even in the midst of the Rona. And as we are staying at home, as we are away from everything going on right now, Jesus, I beg of you. I absolutely beg of you that you make it clear to us what we are to do on this and how we can find freedom from it for your glory. Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, God, our strength and our Redeemer in whom we trust, in Jesus' mighty name, and all those who would agree with it would say, amen and amen. So listen, we're talking about something that is a huge issue that God's people must tackle. So let's tackle it. Let's not dance around it. Let's tackle it. Let's begin with considering what the Bible has to say about lust. Because really, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what I say. I can say all kind of tomfoolery, but what does the Bible have to say about it? Well, the Bible is really, really clear. So I want to define it, okay? There's actually a couple Greek words when it comes to lust in our Bibles, okay? One of the main words is a noun. It is epithumia. Epithumia, which means a strong desire of any kind. And then there's a verb that is epithumeo, which means having a strong desire of any kind. So a strong or to have a strong. And so listen, it's not always bad. Matter of fact, let me give you kind of nuances in Greek, because sometimes in English we get it a little messed up. Here's what I mean. In English, I go, I love my new Rona dog. I love my wife. I love a Quick Trip. And yes, I do love each of those, but those words in Greek would be different. Matter of fact, there's five different words for love in Greek. The same way lust in Greek has two different words. The verb form is used in a good way, but often in a bad sense, such in Luke 22:15. Let me give you an example where Jesus desired, that's the word lust there, desired to eat the Passover with his disciples. And he used it in Matthew 13:17. He also said, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see. He goes on. The sexual desire within the context of marriage is never referred to as lust. It's only and it itself is not evil, but it's commended. As a matter of fact, married people, it's commanded. It's commanded in God's word. But when used to refer to sexual desires outside of marriage between a man and a woman, the various Bible's words are always bad. There's never an exception. Matter of fact, when you look at the Bible as a whole, basically a good working definition for lust is this: sexual desire that you voluntarily allow for anyone that you're not biblically married to. Sexual desire that you voluntarily allow for anyone that you're not biblically married to. It's triggered for men primarily through the eyes and women primarily through emotions. And now that's a broad brush. You could be like, well, that's not me. That's cool. Broad brush, but it's just generally the way it goes. And here's the thing. When you feel temptation or lust, it in itself is not sin. I'll give you an example. There's gas stations I've gone to, and there's been the magazines off to the side. I've seen them, and I've walked on. You know, the magazines are everywhere, and they always got something on it. You know, somebody, nine times out of ten, they look like they're trying to eat me. But over there, and I see them, and here's the thing. In when I see the thing, I'm not in trouble for seeing it. It's what I do when I see it. Do I continue to stare? Do I take in the temptation, or do I just go and move my eyes? There's multiple times in commercials on TV where I see something and I choose to look away. Movies where I choose to look away. Do I begin to stare and ogle and take it all in, or do I go, not for me? You see, the gazing is what the sin is. Not the seeing, but the gazing. But how serious is lust? You may think, certainly one short gaze or a fantasy or whatever, this is not that bad. But here's what Jesus says in Matthew 5. Turn to Matthew 5. We're going to start in verse 27. Matthew 5, verse 27. Matter of fact, if you took one of those black hardback ones, it's page 810. Cheat little sheet for you, but page 810. In Matthew 5, verse 27, you can stand in the honor of reading of God's word. It says this: you've heard that it said that you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to go to hell. Whoa, Jesus. Wow, you're really coming out the gates, aren't you? But here's the thing. He says it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And that's what we have to address. That within marriage, yes, you can lovingly surrender to each other, but whether male or female, if you're a fan of lustful thoughts or reading these romances or going on and looking at porn online or all these compounding guilts are going to come on top of you. And when we give into lust this way, the Bible says that when we choose to fill our own sexual desires outside of God's intended plan, then he uses a number of negative terms. Matter of fact, let's flip over to your right a little bit to Colossians. We're going to go we'll start in verse 5. It says this: put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these was the wrath of God is coming. But then you can go on to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 3, and it says this. He says, For this is the will of God for your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not the passion and not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That's so key right there. Because there's so many other scriptures that you can go into that Jesus is extremely clear about this. And so I really just want to ask a very simple question. How do you find freedom from lust? How do you find freedom from lust? Like, we're talking about freedom. I hopefully have dug into my point. I'll dig into more of it. But how do I find freedom from lust? I've given a lot of thought to this issues, and I want to start off with kind of a negative. I don't like to do this, but I want to, because I just want to be honest with you. I've seen that this has become a major stumbling block for so many believers in their lives. And I've come to the conclusion that we as the church have failed because we've forgotten that we cannot handle this problem alone. We have to fight this battle on multiple levels. Matter of fact, number one, if you want to write notes, is this. You have to have a responsibility to fight this battle against lust. You have to have the responsibility to fight the battle. Let me give you a couple ways to help you with this. You have to say no to triggers. You have to say no to triggers. If I'm walking on down the street and I see something, instead of oogling and ogling, I have to walk away from it. I have to say no. If I'm on TV, if you're at my house and you've probably heard me go, eyes, I'm talking to my children, trying to protect their eyes, knowing that what you see affects your mind, affects your body. You have a choice whether to continue to gaze or look away. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, if you're a Christian, to turn away from it. And immediately, when you turn away from it, you can put it out of your mind. Matter of fact, James, if you go to James, that's the brother of Jesus, James in chapter 1, he says in verse 14, James 1:14, he says this: but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. It's so key. You have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Pray that you could turn away when you see the lust triggers coming in your life, when the things are coming. Not all the time will you see them coming. When you do see them, turn away, move away from them. But then also you have to control your exposure level to the triggers. You can't just run out and be like, well, I'm okay. There are ways to control it. I for years have gone to every movie I've ever watched when I go in the theater with a baseball cap. Well, why? Because I don't know what's going to pop up on the screen. I mean, I'm assuming the movie's going to pop up, and I'm glad when it does. But occasionally, there's some other stuff that pops up that builds nothing into the story that I end up having to see. So you know what I've chosen to do? I bring a baseball cap. If I'm sitting with my wife, I'll hold her hand. And the music usually gives it away. I know how to turn my head towards it. I just choose to avoid that. But are there other things? Are there websites you don't need to go to? Games you don't need to play? TV shows or Netflix shows you don't need to watch anymore? Right? Like, are you struggling because of the things you're seeing? Then don't do those anymore. Sound advice is found in Proverbs. I'm going to flip back over. Proverbs 4, start in verse 14. In verse 14, it says this. He says, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Let me say that again. Avoid it. One more time. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They have robbed of sleep unless they made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter into full day. And the way of wickedness is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. sounds like when you go in to these places, when you watch that TV, the TV show, or that Netflix show, or maybe that Amazon Prime show, I don't know. When you're watching that show, maybe you should just turn it off because you're falling into a trap. God's desire for your sanctification, which is a big word that means he's making you more and more like him, is that his desire is that instead of renting a movie or doing like that, is to be more like him. I talked to my little girl the other day, and she said, she asked me, she goes, "Daddy, what does it mean to be in the image of God?" Which I thought was the sweetest question. And I said, "Well, you know how I look like Grandpa, like the back of our necks? We have hot dogs back here." And I said, "You know how that?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, as you grow older," I said, "I pray that you look like your mommy, because your mommy's beautiful, right? And so I want you to look more and more like her. But as you grow, you're going to look more like us." And that's the same thing when it comes to Jesus. The more you're in the relationship with Jesus, the more you're going to look like him and act like him. And she said the sweetest thing. She goes, "Like when we're on the playground and they're playing tag and kids are getting hurt and I'm being nice to them." And I said, "Exactly, baby girl. Jesus would want you to be nice to them." You see, what we forget is that in our Americanized ideal of wanting to make everything about us, we forget that Satan has fooled believers in telling us that all these sexually stimulating images are central to a plot of a good story. They're not. Matter of fact, 9 times out of 10, they're lazy writing. You see, no one could tell you the danger of continuing to look at this better than David in the Bible, right? David, who saw Bathsheba bathing, was filled with so much lust and initiating acts that cultivated an adultery and murder. That's what happened. It seeded in his mind and ended up with murder. And matter of fact, he learned his lesson so well that he wrote in Psalm 101, verse 3, says, "I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes." Job says this in Job 31. It says, "I'll make a covenant with my eyes that I'll not look on a woman with lust." Maybe if you have a TV, you put that in front of your TV, or maybe you put that on your phone and you remind yourself. Maybe that's the background of your phone, that you remind yourself that, yo, instead of me wanting to do this, instead of me going on YouTube, instead of me going on Netflix, instead of me going on whatever, I choose to make a covenant with my eyes so I don't become tempted with lust. Folks, it's about time that we as Christians cleaned up our homes, cleaned up our phones, cleaned up our devices. And you say, I'm sure some of you guys are like, "Pastor John, okay, you've really gone in on this." And I say, yes. And you go, "Well, how far should we go?" As far as you can. As far, there's so many of us that are up on the line like, "Well, this will be okay." I was watching this video of this dude hanging off the side of a building. He was hanging off the side of the building. He was holding on to it. And I just wanted to go, "You idiot." One, why? Two, why? And three, why? You're hanging off the side of the building just seeing how far you can go before you fall. And you get back up and you're like, "Nothing happened." And all I said was, "This time." Well, what happens when your palms are a little sweaty one time? What happens when your grip isn't as strong one time? What happens when you're a little bit heavier than you thought you were this time? What happens when that wind blows a little bit harder, then you fall to your death? Listen, Christian, you're all playing with fire. Stop getting so close to sexual temptation. Get as far away as you possibly can. What do I do? That's a great question. I'd say thanks for asking. And here, I want to offer you some thoughts, especially for my single adults, because I know that we have in our church, we have a lot of single adults. So I want to offer you a few passages. I'm going to write them down. I want you to write them down, dig into God's word, and find out how true they actually are. But this is it. These are the four things I want to give you. Number one, the Bible is consistently pro-marriage. Therefore, we should be. Full stop. We live in a world right now that when you're pro something, you're anti something else, right? Like if I'm pro life, I'm anti choice, or if I'm pro choice, I'm anti life. I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm anti whatever it is, and it's just not true for this subject. In the church, we're both pro church and we're pro marriage and pro singleness. I don't know. Jesus was single. Apostle Paul, that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, single dude. Okay, so we're pro-singleness. If you're a single adult and you're called to be single, God bless you. We want to bless you in that and come alongside you. Matter of fact, the Bible commends you as having a greater calling than even myself as a pastor. It's an amazing calling on your life. I have pastor friends that are single that are amazing men of God. But listen, from Genesis onward, the Bible speaks of marriage as not only normal, but a desirable thing. Hebrews 13 and 4 goes as far to say, it says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all." The word honor means of great price and precious and esteemed. No matter if you're single or married, the institution of marriage needs to be regarded as a precious thing. Moreover, even the single apostle Paul counsels men to learn to acquire a wife. Gentlemen, it is your job to pursue and acquire a wife in 1 Thessalonians 4. He calls it something good. Therefore, we should call it something good. A single struggle with lust, I would say, number two, is God's invitation for you towards marriage. Now, that doesn't mean jump on Tinder or something and get married immediately. It's not what we're talking about. Don't go to Las Vegas once it opened back up and find the nearest chapel to get married. It's not what I'm saying. But Paul counsels men who have trouble with burning lust to get married in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says that even acknowledging that married life comes with spiritual challenges, that now you have a divided interest. And I would even find someone in your church who displays spiritual maturity and pray over them in that matter with you. There's no simple recipe, number three. There's no simple recipe for self-control. Only the Holy Spirit. Listen, there are so many books, and I got them. I've read them. There's so many books on the subject of lust. Books that offer a step-by-step-by-step approach to overcoming sin. And many of these books contain bits of wisdom that are very good. They really do. But I just want you to hear it. Most of them are just tricks to behavioral modification. And our bent towards sin cannot be overcome by a 12-step program or a theological recipe or more prayer or more Bible reading or more Christian fellowship or more self-trying. Listen, I want you to give me your eyes and hear this. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And we only display the Spirit's fruit when we're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. We only display the fruit of the Spirit when we're keeping in step with the Spirit. The secret of self-control is not that God removes the drives that removes that drive from us. No. Because that's not what moves us towards sin. It's that he overcomes those drives with new drives in our life. He moves us towards living right, to walking with the Holy Spirit. You see, walking with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you lose your flesh. No. But that a new vision now fuels your heart and fuels your mind. It enables us to say no to temptation. It's walking with the Spirit. But the last point I want to give you is this. Number four. Christian, find real community. I say this in our church all the time. You got to be known 100%. I can't tell you how many times I had a conversation today with a brother in Christ who didn't have real community, who was isolated and ended up struggling and falling into sin, and another brother in Christ who called me and was able to offer so much advice in reality. You see, many of our stabs at Christian community can become trite and pointless pretty quick. I've led so many Bible studies and small groups over the years, and these experiences have definitely had their place in instructing me in ways that I should good, but rarely do people seek to know one another in these groups. Hebrews 3 and 13 says, but exhort one another every day. Let me say it again. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. How many days? Every day. Every day. Every day. This verse indicates that we're to interact with each other in a way that can give honest and helpful feedback. So the conversation I had earlier, I was able to go, yo, I hurt. I struggle. I don't know what to do. And he was able to give me honest feedback at the heart level. I'm going to be honest with you for a second. Maybe I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to scream if I hear another Christian tell me, well, oh, this person who's not connected into a local body or a local church is such an amazing Christian, this, that, and the third. Listen, there's no such thing in God's word. Every Christian that I know, every Christian that I've ever read is connected to a local body of believers. It's just normative. I don't understand how we're disconnected from the body, but think that we're known. You're not known by anybody. Listen, if you're a brand new Christian and you got saved over the Rona, that's great. I'm going to tell you, get connected into a local church. If you don't believe me, text me and I'm going to text you back and say, get connected to a local church. It doesn't have to be ours, but find one that loves Jesus, follows Jesus, is passionate about Jesus, and get connected in and serve there. Love there. Be family with them. Church is not like a family. It's a functional family, and that's what we are. We try to be there. And listen, the verse says that you're supposed to interact with each other, one another. How do you do that when you're disconnected from each other? James writes, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. He also says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The church is meant to be a place of mutual confession. That means it's not that you get to get there and get the goods. That means you have to be 100% also. You have to be 100% also. Now, that doesn't mean you bust in the church the first day after the Rona, go, I'm in the middle of love. No. You find a group of men or a group of women, people to come alongside you and walk with you. But I dare you to confess. I dare you to confess your darkest sins. It's funny because every time somebody comes to me and goes, Pastor John, I want to tell you about this thing. I want to tell you what's going on. I'm struggling here. I was doing this. And I always look at them and then they get done. And they're like, so what? And I'm not going, oh my goodness, I've never heard that. That's a new one. Usually I've heard it. And even if I haven't, I've got a pretty good poker face. I'm not going to fall out on you. Right here and now, I want to just be real with you. And there are people in our community that want to hear your sin. Because that's real accountability. I want you to choose who you confess to, but we want to walk with you. That's what community looks like. Listen, next week I want to talk about the church's responsibility in this. I've talked about your responsibility. I want to talk about the church's responsibility, which means when you come back, you get to be a part of the body of believers and what we do corporately to love each other, to walk with each other, and to uplift each other. But listen, I just want to ask a couple questions before I end. Have you allowed yourself to become entangled in a knot of lust? Do you need freedom from lust? Men, have you surrendered to continual lustful thoughts? Women, have you done the same? Singles, are you doing it? Have you just thrown in the towel? I remember as a kid, my dad, he would watch boxing all the time. He loved boxing. I watch UFC now. And they're very similar in what they do. Boxing in his heyday was absolutely amazing. And I love the one-on-one, man-on-man. They're there and they're throwing their punches. They're doing their thing. It's just absolutely amazing to see the skill that it takes to punch and to duck. I mean, I hate to say it. I'm on video saying this, but I mean, Mayweather's one of the greatest ever defensively to do it. Like, it's absolutely amazing to see him do it, to see him roll off the shoulder and let him. It's just absolutely amazing to watch him do it. But here's the thing you miss. For 3 minutes, they're there by themselves, and they go back for another minute in the round, at the end of the round, to their corner, where the man comes and presses against the cut, where another one gives him advice, and another one is putting Vaseline on him, and another one's shaking the arms out and squirting water in the mouth. There are five or six people there working on him for that whole minute and making sure that he's good and wiping down the sweat off his body and saying, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? That's what community does. You got a cut man. You got a hype man. You got one that's going to give you strategy. You got one that's been in there before that knows exactly what to do, that sees things that you don't see. And listen, that's what you need. You have to surrender your thought life and come around other believers that are willing to walk with you. And when you get cut, you got somebody that's going to press up against that cut. And when your arms are tired, they're going to lift your arms up. And when your legs are tired, they're going to shake your legs out. And when you're sweaty, they're going to help wipe you down and squirt some Gatorade or some water into your mouth. And you got somebody that's going to sit in front of you and go, listen, I know this doesn't seem right to you, but I'm going to tell you because I've been there. I've done that. I got the t-shirt. Let me help you out. Listen, you may need that right now, Christian. You don't know what you're doing, but listen, when you surrender to lust, the flames of your desires just get larger. Don't throw in the towel because you're by yourself. Run to community where we can be here because lust is deadly. Get back in the battle. Discipline yourself to say no. Run with us and let the Holy Spirit empower you to be an overcomer and to find freedom in this time. Listen, Christian, lust will grip you in a way that your spirit is dulled and you have nothing left. Trust God to do the best with you. If you're a non-believer on here, you're like, I don't know how to have that kind of freedom, and you want that freedom. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do in the chat right now. I'm going to put up a quick little link, and it's me putting that link up there. I want you either to text that number saying, I want to believe, or just like it, and I will follow up with you this week. Just click the like button. If you just want to find out more about us, subscribe this week. But listen, I want you to begin to pray, even now with me. Matter of fact, why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? And pray that you pray with me as we pray to receive Christ and find freedom. Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you for the reality that you are God and that you are good and that you give freedom over all things. Empower those watching right now to find freedom over their lust, over their struggle, over their hurts, over their pain. Give them freedom in ways they never thought they could have it. And let them find a community that will walk alongside them. Jesus, thank you that by your Spirit we can have freedom and freedom in you. We ask this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.